You know, I forgot to mention to you, Judy, the other day someone said something I think you need to know. And it was about our time of worship together. And I hope you share this attitude as this one who said this to us, to me. Somebody with a little head must have been wearing this last. That's what I actually call her, Little Head. I know that's the weirdest of all nicknames you'll ever hear, but I call my Judy Little Head. Anyways, somebody came to me the other day, and we were talking about this and that, and we actually prayed. It was wonderful. And he said, you know, I could just, sometimes when we are in worship as a church family, I could just keep on doing that for a very good long time, because that is such a sweet spirit. There's a sweet spirit in this place. There really is. There really is. Well, we know that God's words are true, and His word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. These are good things. And why a sound mind? I just love all that I... Well, I'll tell you what. I went on a spiritual journey this week. Is that weird? I don't mean it was an out-of-body experience, but I was considering the Spirit. And there's so much to consider there. And it began 2 weeks ago in a men's study. And, you know, that's the thing about getting together and studying God's Word in every opportunity. I mean, sometimes you'll have the opportunity to get together with friends, and I have that great joy of meeting together with a group of men every Tuesday night. I tell you what, you need to get together. Find some folks and pull together and have a study. Now, it could be at home, you and your spouse, or you and your children, or you and a neighbor, or a friend over coffee, but quite frankly, it can be you and the Lord, too. You can have a great Bible study together, because He's a wonderful teacher. Let's pray first. Holy God, indeed, You are all of that and more, and as we consider Your Spirit, our spirit, and we consider and test every spirit, pray Your help and Your wisdom, Your guidance and mercy. Pray Your blessing upon all that is said and done today. In Jesus' wonderful name, we all said amen, because we agree, because we are of one spirit. This is the scripture that got me started. Josh, you can appreciate this. All of you can. Luke 4:1. Then Jesus, Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 1. That's a good place to begin. But I'll tell you, it's not where we're going to end, because when you go on a journey, you travel. So you start somewhere, but where the Lord takes you is awesome. Luke 4:1. Then Jesus, this is so cool, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. You wouldn't think He'd need that. You would think that our Lord Jesus, who is all God and completely man, is already filled. But He is filled. I mean, Luke, the good doctor, feels it necessary to point out to us that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to catch that. That is something. Now, this, for context's sake, and it's always good to get some context so that you know that we're not just plucking a verse out of nowhere, out of somewhere, and then trying to force it into some other shape, if you will. This statement comes immediately on the heels of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Clearly that was his job, to baptize, as his name would indicate. It was on that occasion that we have the first of two similar Trinity sightings, if you will. In both instances, this and another time, Jesus is the center of attention, and well, He should be. Jesus should be the center of our attention, the center of everything. If Jesus is off the side of your life and not the center, you have a problem. If Jesus is off the side of your meeting together or your study, or worse, he's out the door, Ichabod, that cannot be. Jesus needs to be center, front and center of every conversation. I tell you what, this is good. And he is the center. And here it is said in that occasion, when just immediately following the baptism, the Holy Spirit ascends upon Jesus. And the Father speaks out of heaven, "Behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The other instance is at the Transfiguration, and I preached on that a little while back. Beautiful, beautiful story again, where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are together in one place. And be sure of this, each is a person, each is a singular entity, and yet they are three in one. It's a wonderful mystery, and if you think you can grasp it in its entirety, you cannot. As if you could understand God fully, and you cannot. For if you could, in our finite thinking, then we must have a fairly small God if we can figure that all out. So you bow and receive it and say, "Praise the Lord." That's the Trinity for you. Amen. Now, and then immediately after this occasion where he was filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit, comes 40 days of fasting. It is in the wilderness, and it's concluded with Satan tempting Jesus three times. This is all really something to me, and we could just stay here and study this for the live long day, and I suggest that is a good thing to do. But I was just thinking about the Spirit, because another thing, a wise guy, you know, I'm thinking about come Christmas, the three wise men, and I think that there are wise men among us, and good men and women, and who will speak truth into our lives. And something a man said to me a while back has challenged me. He just said, "What spirit is behind that?" What a question to ask. What spirit is behind that? In every situation, what spirit is behind that? Now, I'm not talking Holy Spirit now, because, I mean, when we talk about spirit, we can talk about the Holy Spirit. And we can talk about, if you like, just a spiritual, a feeling. You know, there's a sweet spirit in this place. Now, yes, it is God. Yes, it is. But at the same time, there is a sweet spirit and a sense of good and right and holy and sweet and mercy and grace and all of that. And we each of us, our spirit and flesh. In fact, we're born of the Spirit. There is scripture upon scripture talking about spiritual things, and that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but in fact, it is a spiritual battle, if you will. So there are spirits, and there is something to be considered here, and something very important. And I mean, we even throw around the spirit of Christmas. I mean, that's a beautiful phrase, and that's right. There is a right spirit of Christmas, not going out and shopping and buying a great list of gifts for people, or even you know, all the decorations and all the busyness of Christmas, but every good thing about Christmas, and Christmas is so good. Don't ever forget that. Christmas is so good, and if you find it to not be so good, well then, you got to check your spirit. You got to check your motivation. You got to check your, what is the reason for your motivation? What is the thing that spurs you on? And guard against anything that would steal away that right spirit, because Christmas is a sweet, sweet thing, and there is a spirit, if you will. I want to say this attached to it, but no, there is a spirit in it. Amen? Amen. Now, but we have Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. And we too can be filled with the Holy Spirit, most certainly. And we too can and even should be. I think it's highly essential that we be led by the Spirit, by all means. It's desirable. It is essential. And I could go in many directions, and I did. I tell you, when I was studying that, I could go in many directions from here, and it was difficult to navigate because there's so much about Holy Spirit, but there are, dare I say, many spirits. We have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We, as Pentecostals, many of us, we are born of Spirit. And in fact, when we received Christ as Lord, we became spiritually born again. It's wonderful. But I want to take us to another place and an interesting statement in Numbers 14 and 24. If you like, you can go there, but at the same time, you can probably take my word for it because I just cut and paste. This is Scripture. This is safe. And this is from the New King James, which is it's getting to be my favorite version. Numbers 14, 24, speaking of Caleb. Remember Caleb, Joshua. Those two were something different in the time of Moses when they were going into the promised land. And there's something about Caleb. In fact, God says this about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Caleb said, I want that mountain. Caleb said, we can go in and we can take that land, and God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? And he is for us, and it is as if it's already happened. When God says so, it is so. We just need to walk in that faithfully and go and take that mountain. And God says, that Caleb, he is different. He has a different spirit. I want that spirit. You want that spirit. A different spirit. That is an interesting thought. Of all the people, of all the men of Israel, he stood alone. He was a party of one versus hundreds of thousands. But he was right. I want to take us as well to Luke chapter 9. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? This is Luke chapter 9, verses 54 to 56. And again, this is such a thing. Now, this happened that they had gone into a place, and they were not well received. In fact, poorly, terribly received, and they treated Jesus so wrongly, and they basically ran him out. And when they left that place, a few of the disciples said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. That is interesting again. Or on another instance, when Peter rebukes Jesus, as Jesus says, he's talking about how he must go and die for the sins of all mankind. And Peter rebukes Jesus and said, it cannot be so. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. The spirit motivating him was all wrong. Every time it was all wrong here. We're seeing this. That they wanted to judge and bring death and destruction in this one case. Jesus, you don't know what kind of spirit you were of. Now that could well mean that Jesus says, no, that's not our spirit. That's not the way we ought to operate. But he could also be saying here, do you realize what spirit you're operating out of right now? Either which fits quite well. Now, I was, you and I can think of 1,000 examples where we should ask ourselves, of what spirit are we? Now, rightly, we should be operating out of the spirit of love, as Christ demonstrated. We ought to be operating out of the spirit of, of mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's the spirit we ought to be. But are we always? Thousand times, I'm sure we are not. And it's the simplest of situations, and it could be when you're tired or busy or in a hurry or whatever it is, or just one more thing. Boy, I tell you what. I'm standing in line at Walmart. Yeah, we all do that. And so you can appreciate this. I'm tired. I'm out of town. I want to get out of there. And there's a family in front of me with a shopping cart. And, you know, you always want to pick the shortest line, right? And this is the Walmart in Edmonton on the northeast corner of town. And it's like 12 cashiers. And I want to get out of here so bad. I want to go lay down on my air mattress and have a sleep. That's what I was doing. That was my wonderful plan that night. Anyways, I'm in line. I pick my line. This one's going slow. I'm looking around. But now I should have gone that one. Oh, there's two more people in there. Oh, what are they going to, somebody that doesn't know how to work a cash register. And that is my spirit at that moment, right? Oh, there's flesh abounding right now. And then I didn't stop. You need to stop. You need to stop at that moment, but I didn't. And I know the Lord was teaching me something there, because the lovely family in front of me, suddenly they're, you know, it's like mom and one kid are in line, and then another daughter comes up with more groceries, and, you know, in front of me just, I don't have words for this. And I'm just, but I'm people. And if only my spirit could have been checked at that moment, that would have been good. But it wasn't. So the Lord sent the husband with a cart. And I'm going backwards. You know, this line, and everybody else is moving. They're home already in the other lines, and I'm going the wrong way here. And this family is buying out the store. We got two shopping carts full and people with groceries in, and they're just loading this thing. I'm going to be here forever. Forever. Good thing this place is open 24 hours. I'm never getting out of here. And it was at that moment a brother's words echoed in my head, and I know it was the Lord speaking it again. And what spirit's behind this, son? Not theirs, mine. It's not about me to worry about their spirit, my spirit. At that moment, it just changed. At that moment, when the Lord said, and what spirit are you of at this moment? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Changed everything. They could have brought more groceries. I was tempted to pay for them all of a sudden, but not because I would have gone broke. But, I mean, it was like that. And isn't it like that? Isn't that right? And so, here's great wisdom. What spirit are you? Of what spirit are you? In every instance, you go ahead and ask yourself that. And it fits every instance, every situation. I'll tell you what, apply it to any sort of day you're having. And if just one more person asks me to do something, what spirit am I of right now? Lord, thank you that they ask me. Thank you that you enable me to do these things. Thank you, Lord, that I am of some use to you. Suddenly, the right spirit takes over, and boy, does it take over. Turns the situation around. Nothing has changed, and everything has changed. From the inside out. You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. We are of a beautiful spirit, people. In fact, we are people of light and love, and the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's the Spirit of which we are. And that's the Spirit we need to be drawing from and operating out of and being led by and continually filled with. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an event. It happens, and it is of great use forward in your life, all the way forward, absolutely. But there is a filling and emptying of spirit that happens every day in your life. And you can be depleted and refilled, and depleted and refilled, and overflowing. Overflowing's good. What spirit are you of? We are to test every spirit. Beloved, it reads in John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Now, granted, this scripture is referring to the wolves in sheep's clothing and those who come so-called in the name of the Lord but are not. But that could be us. On occasion, that could be me. That could be you. Test every spirit, whether they are of God. Every word, every thought, every intent. I don't think it's a bad idea. Test every spirit, whether they are of God. Because there are some wrong spirits out there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, reading in Galatians chapter 5, and like I said, this was a journey. I went from scripture to scripture to scripture, and you don't mind that, because this is, I mean, in fact, this is the way often they wrote scripture in New Testament. They say, has it not been written? Has it been said this way? It has been said thusly. They didn't refer a book and chapter and verse, because it just wasn't like that back then, but they said, has it not been said like this? So Galatians chapter 5, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Interesting. There it is. This is what I'm talking about. Yes, this is where the Lord's taking me. I get it. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And the law is death. The law just points to our weakness and our failure, and it is all of that. We're thinking pharisaically, or I don't even know if that's a word, but it worked for me, and legally and whatever it be. But instead, we have to walk by the Spirit, so you do not carry out the desires of the flesh. You know, the desire of my flesh on that occasion, and like I said, I mean, I can think of 1,000 more if you want, but you don't need me to. We'll just go back to Walmart, if you will. You know what my flesh wanted to do? You know what your flesh wanted to do in that moment? Come on, be honest. I mean, on your best day, you'd be gracious. But on your worst day, what would your flesh have had to say about that? I wanted to just go, I'm sorry, no. I would have stuck my big butt out so that they couldn't get their shopping cart in. I said, no, they were big people. No, they weren't big people. They were lovely people. They were really nice people, and I wasn't going to be that guy. But, I mean, the flesh in me wanted to say something rude. Wanted to be mean-spirited. But thankfully, I walked in the Spirit at that moment. In the next step, I took a step in the Spirit, and I did not carry out the desire of my flesh. Good thing. I mean, and it happens again. And it'll happen to you this week, probably later today, if you're rooting for Ottawa, football game. If you're going, what? Eskimos are playing. And if the Eskimos win, you'll be happy. If they lose and it's because of a terrible referee call, the flesh is going to have something to say. The Spirit would go, well, they're only human. That'll be hard. Anyways, but you need to test the Spirit, right? So how do you test the Spirit? Well, I think in prayer, most certainly. But you also need to be forearmed, right? You've been forewarned, so be forearmed. And it goes on in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. So I can tell? Of course you can. Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, That's in there. Huh. Disputes. I don't argue. I don't know what you're saying. That's ridiculous. Oh, no, I do so argue. Disputes. Dissensions. Ooh, I'd like to cause some trouble. Factions. I want to tear people away and tear the church apart. That's a faction. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and these like and things like these, just in case you thought that, well, this is an exhaustive list. No, there's way more. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not the behavior of we Christians. And yeah, we get it. We don't murder. Yeah, that's I figured that one out right away. And we certainly, you know, do not commit the big 10, if you will. But really, I mean, you tell me I can't even have a dispute or an outburst of anger, or dissension, enmity, strife, jealousy? No. Impurity. I mean, that could be anything. Wow. Hey? That's good. But, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Amen? So you must ask yourself, what spirit is behind us? And you know where it all begins? In the mind. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Every sin is conceived here. Every wrong behavior, every wrong intent, every wrong thought is of the wrong spirit. It begins here. The battle is here. And if we can grab it right then, in fact, the word says, take every thought captive. That works. And it really does. And what do you do with a captive? Well, you lock them up and cast them out. Get them out. Absolutely. Taking every thought captive. Don't let them run free. They're not free-range ideas. They're not a good idea. They must be captured. Chase them down. Grab them. Tackle them. Tie them up. And throw them in the pit where they belong. That's what you do with these thoughts. There is scripture after scripture that reminds us of what we ought to think on and what we ought not to be thinking on. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be the first a kind of first fruits of his creation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, there it is. Swift to hear, we take it in, and then what? Be slow to speak. Take at least enough time to say, of what spirit? Of what spirit? The battle is spiritual. The battle is in the mind. Hallelujah. Do not allow these sinful thoughts, these spiritually dark ideas to run rampant. Chase them down. Jesus reminds us, do you not know that it is not what goes into the mouth of man that defiles him, but that which proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man? So this morning, I want to encourage you. It's not just for Christmas. It's forever. You go ahead and ask yourself, of what spirit is this? Let's pray. Lord God, I know you're going to give us an opportunity to ask ourselves that question real soon. May we not soon forget. it is essential that we be filled with the Spirit, and that we be led by the Spirit. And I imagine there are many of us right now who are somewhat depleted, and so we are vulnerable. And where there is room, because we are not filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, where there is room for sin, and there is room for a wrong spirit to operate in our thoughts and our intents. And likewise, Lord, I realize that when we are filled with wrong intents and thoughts and ideas and are maybe operating out of a dark spirit, just a hurting or unforgiving or angry spirit, that there's no room for you. So God, I pray that you would help us to take every thought captive, and we would interrogate them, each one, and make sure that they are right, that we would test them against your Holy Spirit and against what is good and right and just and loving and merciful and kind. What is good? Lord God, may we be like that this day and every day. May we grow and love one another, that we would be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen, amen. What are we singing? Let's stand together and close with a song, shall we?